Turn together in our Bibles this afternoon to Paul's letter, his inspired letter, to the church at Philippi, to the Philippians. So Philippians chapter 1, as we continue our study of this portion of the Holy Word of God. In our pew Bibles, page 1348, I'm going to be reading the first 11 verses. Let's give our attention to the Holy Word of God. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops, their overseers, and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So far, from the Holy Word of God, I urge you to keep your Bibles open if you're able. And I'm going to direct our attention this afternoon to the verses 3 through 5. This will comprise our text. It'll be our focus, the focus of our message. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue making our way into Paul's opening words in this letter to the church at Philippi, we've barely gotten beyond the opening greeting as we considered those words during our last sermon together, grace to you and peace. But now we come to the place where he, as is his habit, as is his custom in most of his epistles, where after having given the greetings, he begins to enumerate for them his thankfulness and to explain to them what he's praying about, to encourage them that he is praying for them. Again, this is more than mere custom. It's more than mere formality that he simply gets words like this out of the way and he expresses some words of thankfulness so as to flatter them or butter them up so that they may be more inclined to listen to him. We understand that these are words that pour forth from the heart of the Apostle Paul and are deeply meaningful and significant. So if we saw last time that the tone is set with the message to the church and for the church, grace to you and peace, that's to be for our encouragement. We know the grace of God for the forgiveness of our sins. We have peace with God by the work of Jesus Christ. We enjoy that and we share that, therefore, with others. As we get into the language of the Apostle Paul in his prayers of thanksgiving, we see that he focuses our attention on what the church is to be like. When you begin to dig in to what he's thankful for, you see that he gives explicit explanation of that in 1 verse 5. What is he thanking God for on every remembrance of them? What is coming up in his prayers? He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, maybe you noted on the bulletin that I used a Greek word. You may say that's all Greek to me. Maybe you've heard the word koinonia before. And if you wonder if your pastor is just seeking to be highfalutin and to show you that he can read a few words of Greek or at least look up their meaning on a computer concordance, let me assure you that I chose this particular word, koinonia, because it gives expression to the fact that what Paul is actually speaking about is much more than we can give expression to in a single word. So we see the language in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel. And that's our translation as I've been reading from the New King James. Other translations, I believe, like the ESV, may say something like partnership in the gospel. But the word koinonia speaks about a togetherness, a sharing, a communion, a fellowship, an engagement together, a commitment together, a contributing together, a partaking together. And all of those things need to be in view here. That's why maybe we do well to latch on to a Greek word. Let me also say that this koinonia, this fellowship in the gospel, is what is to be characteristic, the characteristic of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is rejoicing and giving thanks for that blessing that he sees in Philippi. And we want to give thanks to God for that blessing as we experience it here. Church is not merely a lecture hall where we do some study of the Bible. Church is the blessing by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ of being brought into fellowship, koinonia, with God in Christ and enjoying that fellowship together. And if I may say, I may be thankful with the Apostle Paul in terms of the fellowship we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of that is what makes this present challenge so difficult for us. We do long to be together. We do long to be together, not merely to rub shoulders with each other, but because we have a share in blessing by God's grace in the gospel. And it's not just merely about being gathered together for worship. It is about the life and the communion and the fellowship that we have together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is going to show us here the importance of that fellowship. He's also going to show us a pattern for maintaining and promoting that fellowship as we give thanks together for the fellowship we enjoy in the gospel. We want to be thankfully prayerful with the Apostle Paul to see to it that that fellowship persists and abounds and bears much good fruit. Now, that fellowship or that koinonia is in the gospel. You understand that? Our fellowship is not in a common nationality. Our fellowship, our communion in God, in Christ, is not in having similar political convictions, not even in having, if I may say it, in the midst of these days, similar understandings of how we must respond at this present time to the crisis that we face. Our communion is in the gospel of our Savior, God's Son, Jesus Christ. So we want to follow Paul's pattern of promoting koinonia in the gospel by the three things I think he is showing us here in just these three verses. It's perhaps very basic, Very simple. There's nothing theologically profound in terms of what we have before us. But I would submit to you, if you're anything like me, you would find what the Apostle Paul models for us to be deeply convicting. The way Paul speaks of his gratitude and his constant prayers and his love and affection with the heart of the Lord Jesus for the church at Philippi that he first met probably 12 years earlier than this puts me to shame and convicts me of my need to learn the blessing, the importance of this koinonia that we enjoy, that we need to see promoted, that we need to be thankful for, that we need to be prayerful about. So, promoting this fellowship, this koinonia in the gospel is done in these three basic ways. You remember one another. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. We thank God for one another. Paul says, I'm always thankful in all my prayers for you. And you pray for one another. That's what the Apostle Paul is showing us. Now, we're going to just stop at verse 5. We're just going to look at the fact that Paul prays about the blessing, giving thanks for the blessing of this fellowship, this koinonia. And what he particularly prays, we'll take up in a subsequent sermon by God's grace when we get to verse 9. And he says, this is what I pray, verse 9. We're not going to go there. We're just going to talk about the fact that he prays and the fact that this blessing of fellowship and koinonia is so richly significant. That's what the church is. That's what we enjoy together, and that's what we must ever promote and pray for. So Paul says, I thank you upon every remembrance of you. So in order for him to be thankful, in order for him to pray, he needs to remember the church at Philippi. And they've not been long forgotten in his heart. You see something of the heart of the Apostle Paul in that they are on his heart and he can't forget about them. So he keeps praying for them. There is something of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in what we see here. Listen to the way he speaks in terms of what he enjoys or how he speaks of them. Verse 8, my God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Now, let me just ask us very briefly to examine our own hearts in terms of our thought life with regard to one another in the fellowship that we enjoy. How often do we think of one another? In the Old Testament, the high priest was given a garment, and on that garment, both on his turban and on the breastplate, there were stones signifying the 12 tribes of Israel, signifying that the people of God were to be on the high priest's heart. Now, he was just a picture, in that sense, of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is or who was to come, who has come. And we know, thanks be to God, that the Lord Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. This is the affection of Jesus Christ. We are on his heart. He never forgets about us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's always praying for us. Jesus never forgets. Again, to my shame, there have been countless times in my life where I have made sort of superficial promises. I'll pray for you. Where I never remembered to do it. Maybe you've seen that little quip, that little cartoon of a person saying, "Oh no, here comes Bob. I told Bob I was going to pray for him. God be with Bob. Hi, Bob. How are you?" That's not what the Apostle Paul is doing here. You have the sense that the Philippians are on his heart. You have the sense if you were in Philippi, you would say, he knows us and he's really praying for us. He has something of the heart of Jesus, the affection of Jesus Christ himself. And he's going to go on and explain to us that we are to have the mind of Christ. The mind, the memory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to remember one another. 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And 2 verses 1 through 4 explain what remembering each other is like. It means counting others better than ourselves. And why is it that we often don't remember? Again, we need to be humbly challenged with regard to our forgetfulness in the way of thinking about one another. We're busy with our own things. We're busy with our own lives. And when we think about others, if we think about them at all, what kinds of thoughts do we have? We are to remember one another in the context of the fellowship we enjoy in the gospel. And that's why Paul could have the spirit that he had and have express the heart that he had here with the longing and affection of Jesus Christ himself. "I thank my God for you," he says. He's in jail when he writes this. You could think he would have every reason to be bitter, every reason to be frustrated. And yet he's thankful because he knows the gospel. He knows the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, and that enables him to be thankful of others. It enables him to be mindful of others. So often, again, I just use myself as an illustration. We may find ourselves frustrated with each other in the fact that we don't always count others better than ourselves. But often when we go in that direction, you know, we should count others better than ourselves. If you're like me, I submit to you, you're probably thinking about somebody else who's not thinking about others as well as they should. But you're not thinking about yourself and how much you need to be thinking about others better than yourself. Paul says, upon every remembrance of you, I thank my God concerning you. Now, we shouldn't misunderstand what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's not suggesting that he always prays for the Philippians in every prayer that he ever makes. There are lots of other churches that Paul has been engaged with. It's better to have the understanding, as some translations make that a little more clear for us, and every remembrance of you, I thank God for you, and I make my request for you with joy. So then he prays, and he gives thanks. But I want to just focus in on the thanking God. So we're to be mindful of one another. We're to develop that sense of, I'm not going to think about myself. I'm going to think about the others. And Paul says, every remembrance of you. Another way to translate that would be, on my whole remembrance of you. And that would take us back to about 12 years earlier when he first met the Philippians and saw the work of God in their midst and saw conversions in a glorious way up until now, from the first day until now, as he says here in the passage. When I think about the whole thing, I am so thankful. Again, Paul is not teaching us here to be Pollyanna Christians, where we just talk about the happy things. Paul is not suggesting that we need never challenge each other. Paul will do that in this epistle. He's going to challenge certain sisters by name. But the big picture in terms of the whole remembrance of you is one of gratitude. Again, because it's because of the gospel. When you think of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, and you have come into that same blessing as I have, we share in that blessing. And there is every reason to be thankful for all of you, as Paul says. So we thank God for one another. And ultimately, he thanks God for their koinonia. And I just want to maybe quickly highlight for us, maybe just from Philippians, first of all, Philippians 1, verse 5. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel. So he's speaking there, I believe, in the blessing that they have come to know the same mercy of God. The same delight and privilege to be in fellowship with the living God, in covenant with the living God because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And at verse 7, it's right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains, he is under lock and key, under house arrest in Rome, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. It's the same word, partakers there, koinonia. You have the same grace, but more than simply having tasted of the sweet grace that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying, in my chains and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are there with me. You share in that with me. You have a part in that. Evidently, the Philippian church was much in prayer for Paul as he was enchained for the sake of the gospel. And the fact that he was still having opportunity to speak of the hope of the gospel to the palace guard and all those around him and encouraging others in that same hope. They were with him in that. They were praying for that blessing. They were sharing in that. But you have the sense when you are partakers with me in these things that that was something that they were engaged in themselves. Partakers with me of grace. You are participants with me in the ministry of the gospel. You have tasted of the sweet grace that is found in Jesus in the gospel. And now you too want to share that blessing with others. That sharing is again another use of the word koinonia. So 1 verse 5, 1 verse 7, 2 verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, that's the word koinonia. So if we are in Christ, we are sharing in God's grace. We are sharing in the good news of the gospel. That's by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. 2 verse 1. 3 verse 10. This is Paul's prayer. He has been speaking of the blessing of being found in Christ. The excellence, 3 verse 8, of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. But then at 3 verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship, koinonia, of his sufferings. As Christians, you share then in the sufferings of Christ. It has been granted to you. Philippians 1 verse 29, not only to believe, but also to suffer. You share in that too. I thank God for your share in Christ and your share in his sufferings. 4, verse 14. Nevertheless, he said, you have done well that you shared, koinonia, a verb form, you shared in my distress. Verse 15, 4, verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, 12 years earlier, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Again, the word shared is from the root word koinonia in the verb form. And just to clarify that or confirm that, back in Romans 15, verse 26, it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia. So Macedonia includes Philippi, Berea, and Thessalonica. Those from Macedonia. To make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And the word contribution is the word koinonia. So you see, that's why the word koinonia is so rich. It speaks not only of what we share in Christ by believing the gospel. It speaks of the blessing that now we enjoy. Now that we enjoy that, we want to share that with others. We participate in the ministry of the gospel. We contribute to it in terms of finances, yes, but in terms of our prayers, in terms of our engagement. That's what he is so thankful for. And if we are to see koinonia, the blessing of fellowship with God in Christ, flourish in our midst, then thankfulness for these blessings must characterize us. It's very significant, isn't it, that the Apostle Paul, because of the gospel, the grace of God to him in Jesus Christ, is able to be thankful. Now, there may be issues. There may be challenges. When we think about one another, what do we think? What do we talk about? What do we say about one another? Sadly, our natural inclination is, first and foremost, usually to speak about failings. We're not good at giving thanks. We're not good at encouraging by nature. Our minds are sometimes filled with failings. And as we think of the things of the brotherhood, we may think of brothers and sisters and why didn't he do this or why did he do that when he shouldn't have? But the big picture, as Paul is teaching us here, is always thankful. Always thankful. And you can do that only because of the gospel. Maybe in spite of our failings. Not maybe. Certainly in spite of our failings. Because of the gospel, there is a spirit of gratitude. And we need to cultivate that and encourage that spirit of thankfulness. But that, of course, comes in the way of prayer. So there's a wonderful sort of chain of events that Paul is showing us here. I think about you often. When I think about you, I pray for you. As I'm praying for you, I give thanks to you. And because I give thanks to you, I may do this all with joy. So let's just take apart what the Apostle Paul says here about prayer. As I mentioned, we're not going to get into the details of the items on his prayer list, the prayer concerns he has for the Philippians. That's verse 9 and following. Just the fact that he prays. So he says, always, in every prayer of mine, making a request for you all with joy. There's an always character to this. Paul doesn't stop praying for the Philippians. And so we should be persistent in our prayers for one another. Always, he says, with gratitude. So we should always be thinking of things for which to be thankful. Even if we go on and see here that when he says, I pray for you all. Now, that may at times be sort of a sweeping and be with all the Philippians. But that's maybe just a little bit too easy. Certainly in a congregation of our size and the koinonia we enjoy, we need to cultivate this sense that we are all praying for you all. And not just as a group and Lord bless the church. But that we pray earnestly for specific needs. And we may be praying then, as the language here in verse 4 shows us, every prayer, making request for you all. So the language there is specific to urgent prayers for deep needs. And all of us have deep needs. All of us face various temptations. All of us have deep concerns. All of us have fears and anxieties with regard to the circumstances we face. All of us need to be able to stand up and to be faithful in the midst of our day. These are the things we need to be praying for, but always with thanksgiving. Always being mindful of the fact that my God, Paul says, because of the gospel, has done great things. In all of our lives, we share in that together. We enjoy the same blessing. We have the same Savior. We have the same hope. And so our prayers need to be reflective of that. And so Paul says, whenever I think of you, I pray for you. Whenever I pray for you, I'm thankful for you. And that enables me to express all these prayers for all of you with joy. And as we've seen and will see, the theme of joy abounds in this gospel. The blessing of joy is what we need to be laboring for and praying for, looking for in our koinonia, in our fellowship together. Now again, self-examination, speaking for myself, but I trust you will say the same thing. The challenge to be always earnest in prayer for each other is not always pursued joyfully. Sometimes it seems like a chore. So what do? You remember that what Paul is talking about is this sweet blessing of communion, engagement, sharing, contributing towards, rejoicing in, and proclaiming to others. A blessing we know in the gospel, in the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And that ought to stir up within us a deep sense of thankfulness that leads us to be able to be glad. And it comes also in the way of persisting in prayer. Even when we think we don't want to, or we don't feel like it. If we want the blessing of fellowship with God in Christ as we experience it together to be shared with others, as he's talking about here, we need to be as thankful and as prayerful as the Apostle Paul. And we have our hearts set on what God has done for us in the gospel, in the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. We've got something to be joyful about. And you see the blessing of, okay, listening and looking around for the blessing of others. How can I be a blessing to others? Gets us on our knees to pray for others. Enables us to think about, how can I be thankful? I can be thankful in the gospel. I can be thankful in spite of our failings, in spite of our disappointments with each other. We can be thankful in the gospel. And that gives me great joy. Paul says, I think about your whole life, from the beginning of the gospel in your midst 12 years ago until now. And I see that God has kept you. It's His grace. It's because of the gospel. So we have every reason to be joyful. Let's learn then from this pattern. Let's eagerly, remembering, thanking, praying, focus on the blessing of this fellowship. And give God the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you for the wonder of your grace that brought the Philippian church into fellowship with you, with one another, with the Apostle Paul. We thank you for the heart of love, the affection of Jesus Christ expressed in the Apostle Paul, and for what it teaches us. We acknowledge, O Lord, that it also convicts us. We often don't remember each other. We're forgetful. We're often not thankful for one another. We are inclined by nature, rather, to see each other's deficiencies and failings. And whereas we ought to continue to pray about these things, we pray that you would help us, because of the gospel, to have a spirit of thanksgiving, as Paul did, and an eagerness to remember everybody in prayer, as Paul did. Would you teach us, Lord, how to pray? Would you give us great joy in doing so? We struggle, we confess, Father, with at times our unwillingness, with a lack of urgency, a lack of commitment to do so, a lack of joy. But we thank you, Father, that we learn here, as we continue to pour out our hearts to you and to seek to be mindful of each other and thankful for what we have in each other by the gospel, you work in us greater and greater joy in the gospel. We pray that you would grant that every one of us knows what it is to be partakers of your grace, to have a share in Jesus Christ. And that every one of us would know what it is in the joy of our salvation to be participants in your work with the gospel. Help us, we pray. Use us, bless us. Bless our fellowship, that we would be known for this blessing. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.